Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 14. That's where we're going to be today as we're wrapping up our series, The Journey to Promise, and starting with verse 6 of Joshua 14, we find these words. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was on the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him. And he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became an inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Lord God, today we ask that you would speak to us from your word. Father, we ask that you would reveal your truth to us. Father, we pray that you would supernaturally, by a work of your Spirit, that you would speak so clearly and precisely and directly to us that there's no way we could avoid it or ignore it. We ask that you would challenge us now. We ask that you would encourage us now. And we ask that this time that you take, that you would use it to transform us more into the image of your Son. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, I said that we're wrapping up this series today called The Journey to Promise. And next week, hope you'll come next week. Next week, we'll have a very special time. We're going to talk about small groups next week and connecting and give an opportunity to join a small group. And you'll be hearing more about that next week. But today, I want us to wrap up this idea of the journey to promise. We've traced the journey of Israel from being captive in Egypt. God releases them by miraculous signs and wonders, and he brings them out. He's going to take them to the promised land being the place where they are going to rest in God's provision and rest in God's care. That's what the promised land represents, God's rest for his people. And how they are going to go into the promised land, and then we find that they send a group of spies in. Moses sends some spies in, and they all come back and they all say, "We can't take it, it's too big, it's too great, it's impossible." Caleb says, "No, we can take it. We can do it. We just need to go, we need to trust God." And we find that because of their unwillingness to enter into the promised land, God says, everybody of that particular generation who refused to enter except for Caleb and Joshua, everybody else is going to die in the wilderness. They'll wander for 40 years, die in the wilderness. And at the end of that time, then he was going to bring everybody under a certain age and Caleb and Joshua into the promised land. And now, fast forward some 45 years, we find this is what's going on. Caleb went in and spied out land when he was 40. Now it's 45 years later. They've wandered for 40 years, and they've overtaken much of the promised land in the 5 years after that. So it's been somewhere around 5 years since they've entered into the promised land. They've been doing battle for 5 years, and now 45 years after Caleb said, "We can take it," Now Caleb is now speaking to Joshua and reminding him of what went on back then. So what I want us to look at today, since we're at the end of our series, but also I want us to think about the person of Caleb, and I want us to think about how do we stay strong until the end? How do we stay strong until the very end of our lives? Now, popular thing going around now is the Face app, where you can use a computer-generated model to age yourself, right? Some of you have done that. I have done that. That's why you're not going to see it on the screen. It was like, clearly FaceApp does not take into account moisturizer or sunscreen because, you know, now I will say Rebecca did it and Rebecca aged extraordinarily well. I'm a fortunate man. Blessed I am. But her not so much. But because according to FaceApp, if I end up looking like FaceApp says, I'm going to look, wow, I am not an attractive older man, all right? Let me just tell you. But there are certain things that FaceApp can't show you. FaceApp cannot show you what you're going to be spiritually. FaceApp cannot show you the spiritual maturity that you're going to have. It just can't. And by the way, you can be a success chronologically and still not be a success spiritually. I remember growing up, and I'm not going to call her name. She's long since passed away, but there was a lady in our church where I grew up. And I remember she was very old. She was very elderly, but she didn't regard herself in that way. But she would always take time to let everybody know, I've been following Jesus for 60 some odd years or 70 some odd years. And she always made a big deal out of that. Well, I'll tell you, I've been following Jesus all the time. And I asked my mom one time, I said, she's been following Jesus all these years. Why isn't she more like him? Because it's as though that even though she says she's been following him, I was like, but she's mean and she's bitter and she's unforgiving and she complains about everything. It seems like the older you get and the longer you know Jesus, the more like him you should become. But that was not the case. She was chronologically a success. She had many trips around the sun. But at this point in time, she wasn't really spiritually showing that. So how can we be a Caleb in a world that desperately needs these people like Caleb who, whenever they are older and they're at the end of their life, they are still just as strong as they ever were. They're not only chronological successes, but they are spiritual successes as well. When I asked my mom this question and I asked some other people that question, this is what the response I got. Well, she's lived long enough that, you know, she can say and get away with certain things. Let me give you a truth. Age is never an excuse for sin. It's not. It's not that someone reaches a certain age and then they're entitled. Well, I'm entitled to sin because I've put in my time living righteously, so now I can complain a lot. No, that's not what you find. So you can't use that as an excuse. I want to finish strong. I want to finish well. And I remember, you know, here the other day, somebody stopped me in the hallway and they were like, you're still a very young man. I was like, thank you, even though I don't feel it. And I had a friend of mine this week contact me. In a panic. No joke. He contacted me in a panic via email, and he said, he started listing all these movies. He said, last weekend, I watched these movies. And he had this big list of movies. And they were all movies that we went to see when he and I were kids. And I said, okay, so what's the problem? He said, they were all on Turner Classic Movies. He said, I think I've passed some sort of line, and I didn't know it. He said, man, am I old? Yes, you are. You are old, man. I said, do you remember that when those movies came out, that was 40 years ago? There was a long silence before he responded via email. He was having a moment. We want to finish strong. How do we finish strong? How do we stay strong until the end? Well, Caleb gives us some ways here. First of all, know what God says about you. Just know what God says about you. Look at verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. Caleb understood what God said about him. Caleb understood the truth of who he was in the person of God. As a child of God, Caleb understood that. We need to understand who we are so far as who we are in the person of Christ. If you want to stay strong until the end, you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know who you are as a person, as a child, as a follower of God. Now notice, what someone says about you is only going to be true in as much as it's what God says about you. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about you, as long as you know what God says about you. Because what God says about you, that's the absolute truth of who we are. It doesn't matter what I think about myself. If God says something else, then I am what God says. It doesn't matter how I feel about myself. If God says something else, that's the truth. It doesn't matter what someone else says or feels about me. What God says, that is the truth. So what someone says about you is only as true, including ourselves. What we say about ourselves is only as true in as much as it is what God says about us. You have to know what God says about you. If you're a follower of Christ, let me give you some verses here that show us who we are in Christ. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That means we are in a way, in a very real way, already what has been promised to us has already really come to pass in the person of Christ. In God's mind, we're already there. We're already perfected. We're finished. We're complete. You find in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God says it's no longer you who's living for yourself. Christ died, and if I died to my sin, then Christ is living in me. He's living in me to motivate me. He's living in me to give me the right desires. He's living in me to give me the right words. He's living in me to give me the power to accomplish the mission that he's given me. You find in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. Do you realize that's where you are? If you're a follower of Christ, you are holy, blameless, and above reproach in the sight of God. Yeah, well, I don't feel real holy. You're holy, blameless, and above reproach. Yeah, well, I just feel so guilty and I feel burdened down by my own guilt. You're holy, blameless, and above reproach. That doesn't mean that we don't repent. It doesn't mean that we're not convicted, certainly. But in the eyes of God, he sees us through the eyes of Christ. We are holy, blameless, and above reproach. For some of you, if you latched on to those three phrases, those three ideas, holy, blameless, and above reproach, and believe that that's how God really sees you, that would transform your life. A number of years ago, I wrote that on a little 3x5 index card and taped it to my bathroom mirror. So I'd see it every morning. Holy, blameless, and above reproach. That's who I am in Christ. I'm holy, blameless, and above reproach. I beat myself up. I'm holy, blameless, and above reproach. Someone says something, puts me down. I'm holy, blameless, and above reproach. Not only that, Peter gives us this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a person, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what God says about his people. We need to know who we are. The story is told of Augustine of Hippo, known as St. Augustine or St. Augustine. St. Augustine was walking along after his conversion, and before he got saved, he lived this incredible, riotous life. And he's walking along one day, and one of his former lovers was walking on the other side of the street, and she saw him. She hadn't seen him in a while, and she went running over to him. And as she ran over toward him, he started backing away and moving in the other direction. And she said, Augustine, it is I. He goes, yes, but it's not I. He understood that he was a different person. He was a qualitatively different person now that he was a follower of Christ. He's not who he once was. If you want to stay strong until the end, you need to know who you are in Christ, because the world's going to tell you all sorts of other things. Those who don't like you are going to tell you all sorts of other things. In your worst moments, those fears and doubts and anxieties and insecurities that you have are going to tell you all sorts of other things about who you are. The only thing that matters is who God says you are. If you don't know Christ and God says you're a sinner separated from me, then you're a sinner separated from God. If you know Christ and you're holy, blameless, and above reproach, it doesn't matter how you feel about that, you are holy, blameless, and above reproach. If you're going to finish strong, you're going to stay strong to the end, you have to know what God says about you. Secondly, if you're going to stay strong to the end, you have to follow God with a whole heart. Look at verse 7. Caleb speaks, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And then down in verse 9, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. You follow God with a whole heart. It means everything about you, everything inside of you follows God wholly, follows God completely. You find this in Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. With a wholeness, with a unity of heart. This is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, when he's asked about what's the greatest commandment. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Notice what he says. He says your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. All of those areas and all of those areas. We are to love God with all of us. All of us. We are to love him with all of our heart. All of our heart, we love God. All of our mind, we love God. All of our strength, we love God. Everything that we are to love God and we are to follow him wholly. We are to follow him completely. Could that be said of you? That you seek to just follow God completely. Wherever God wants to lead, okay. Whatever God wants to do, okay. I don't understand it, but it's okay. I trust you. I don't get it, but I trust you. It's painful, but I trust you. It's uncomfortable, but I trust you. It may take a long while. We'll look at this in a moment, but I trust you. We follow God with a whole heart. You find when Jesus first calls the disciples, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, well, actually, this is later on. He tells them to follow him early on, but then later on, he speaks to the people who would be followers of him. And Jesus told his disciples, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself, say no to yourself, take up your cross, crucify yourself to sin, and follow me. Follow me. That's how we are to follow God. We are to follow Christ wholeheartedly. If we're going to stay strong into the end, we need to wholly follow God. Notice when Caleb says, listen, the only reason that God said I get to enter into the promised land is because I completely followed him. That's exactly what God says. I gave you a reference of a passage in Numbers there just at the beginning of that point. Caleb, according to God, God says he's got a different spirit in him. He's got a different spirit in him. He understands me. He understands what I'm doing. He understands that all things are possible. He gets this, and he is completely following me. He doesn't know how the enemies are going to be defeated. He doesn't know how hot the battle might get. All he knows is, I'm going to completely follow God. Could that be said of you? Are you completely following God? When the opportunity presents itself, are you saying, yes, God? Because it's really easy to come together on a Sunday morning, it's really easy to be in a Bible study. It's really easy whenever we're having our own personal Bible study and say, yes, God, I absolutely believe that. And then we walk out the door and we have that encounter at school, or we have that encounter at work, or we have that encounter out on the job site. And then suddenly what we just said that we absolutely positively believe to be true suddenly goes completely out the window. And we live as though it's not. We either go into panic mode, we rely on ourselves. We go into absolute, complete, and total non-Jesus, unredeemed mode, and we start saying things or doing things or acting in ways that are completely and totally opposite of what we just said. Yes, I believe it. We have to wholly follow God. Follow God with a whole heart if you're going to stay strong to the end. Next thing Caleb talks about is this, verse 10. And now, behold, The Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was on the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for coming, for going and coming. If you're going to stay strong until the end, wait patiently for God's plan to unfold. Wait patiently for God's plan to unfold. In today's push-button instant society, we don't like to wait. But we especially don't like to wait for God's plan to unfold. But that is one of the most necessary things, one of the most necessary spiritual disciplines to know how to do, and that is wait patiently for the will of God. In Psalm 27, verse 14, the psalmist writes, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Again, in Psalm 37, verse 34, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land you will look on when the wicked are cut off." Wait patiently for God's plan to unfold. Notice what Caleb says. He says, verse 10, "The Lord has kept me alive." The Lord's the one who kept him alive. Caleb could wait because God kept him alive. And Caleb knew there was something left to do. Hey, listen. God will keep you alive as long as you have something to do for him. The reason you woke up this morning drawing breath is because God's not done with you. He's not done with you. Hear me, he's not done with you. That's the only reason we're alive today. And God will complete his mission. As long as there is breath, there's still a mission. As long as you're drawing breath, there's still a purpose. And Caleb understands God's kept me alive these 45 years for a reason. And I've been waiting patiently for that. I have waited and I have waited and I have waited. And notice, Caleb says in verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was on the day that Moses sent me." You get that? Older doesn't mean weaker. Caleb says, "I'm just as strong today as I was then." Well, do you think he really was? Do you think he could arm wrestle somebody at 85 like he could at 40? That's not what we're talking about. Caleb's strength was the same on this day as it was back then, because Caleb's source of strength was the same today as it was back then. He's just as dependent upon God now as he was then. His source of strength hasn't changed. So he's just as strong today as he was 45 years earlier, because his source of strength was found in God and God alone, and God hadn't left him. And so Caleb could say, "I'm just as strong as I've ever been." But Caleb practiced and he showed endurance. We need endurance. We need to endure, to bear up under these things. If we are going to finish strong, if we are going to finish still strong after all those years, if we're going to do this like Caleb did it, we need endurance. The writer of Hebrews writes this. This is Hebrews 10:36. "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." And by the way, little word here. Little word study. In verse 11, where he says, "My strength now is as my strength was then." That word is translated strength. Yes. Vigor, strength. It can also be translated, get this, as a desert lizard. I know. You get a tough little desert lizard. That's the idea. It is the word that is sometimes translated as that, because of the toughness and the tenacity of the lizards that had to live out in desert regions. I mean, they have to be tough to live out there. There's no wimpy desert lizards, at least not for long. You don't get to be an old wimpy desert lizard. There are none. So Caleb is saying, "Listen, I'm just as tough as I am today as I was back then, because God is with me. God has made me into a tough little desert lizard." That's what we need. We need that desert lizard kind of toughness. Little bit of a thick skin, tender on the inside, yeah, but thick skin, and being able to endure. And we find that's exactly what Caleb does. He endures. He waits patiently for God's plan to unfold. And then we find this. You know what God says about you. You follow God with a whole heart. You wait patiently for God's plan to unfold. And then finally, ask for what God has promised. Ask for what God has promised. Ask for what he's already promised. Look in verse 12. Caleb says, "So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Caleb says, let me just ask for what God's already promised. God's already promised this land's going to be taken. So you know what? Give me that hill country. Give me the mountainous area. Give me the place where the walls are high, and there's some show enough bad folks in there. And let me just go in there. That's what I want. Now listen, Caleb's 85 years old. 85. And now he's saying, give me a fight. I need a fight. Give me some people to whoop up on. That's a good southern way of saying that. There's a Hebrew word for that somewhere, I'm sure. Give me those people. Give me that land. Whereas a lot of people, you know, Caleb's age, they're not even buying green bananas. But here's Caleb saying, hey, I am going to go. Y'all get that later. I'm going to go, and I want the hill country. So give me the hill country of which the Lord spoke in that day. Caleb is just, as some translators or some commentators have said, Caleb was just possessing his possessions. Something God's already promised, and Caleb's like, I'm going to go get what God's already said is mine. I'm going to ask for that because God's already said. This is how God works. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? We find in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23, O Lord, God of heaven, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. There it is again, all your heart. You have kept with your servant David, my father, this is Solomon speaking, what you declared to him, you spoke with your mouth and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. You did what you said you were going to do. So Caleb says, give me that country. Because the Lord's going to be with me. Do you get this? The Lord is with Caleb because Caleb was with God. Caleb didn't leave him. Caleb stayed close. And now Caleb is asking him for what he had already promised. Notice what Caleb did not do. Caleb didn't do this. I'm 85 years old. Been wandering around this wilderness for 40. That's my Caleb voice. Been wandering around this wilderness for 40 years. 40 years wandering around watching people die. Now here we are, and I've fought for 5 years. It's time some of y'all go up there and take that hill country and give it to me. He didn't say that. You know, I just wish somebody would just, you know, if y'all aren't too busy doing after you get all your cities, if y'all just go up there and whip all those Anakim up there in those fortified cities, knock down some of those walls and just make it all nice and easy and level for me, and then I'll just come on up there. He didn't say that. Caleb said, give it to me. Give it to me. I want to go and I want to be the one to fight. I want to be the one to claim the place. And by the way, this is after 5 years of fighting. Clearly, nobody had gone into the hill country. They had taken all this other area, but the hill country, it was still Wild West. The hill country, the enemy was still there. The cities were just as fortified, if not more so, knowing how Israel was taking over all these other cities. So these people have had 5 years to prepare and get ready. And Caleb's like, give me that. That's what I want. Because God's promised it. And Caleb is operating by the same kind of faith that he operated before he went into the promised land and said he could take it. And now, 45 years later, he's like, I can still take it. Because God is with me. And since God is with him, Caleb understands that. Philippians 1:6, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's what God has promised. He's going to finish the work that he has for you. He's going to finish the plan that he has for you. He's going to fulfill the mission that he's given you. He is going to do it. But we need to ask. We need to ask God for what God's already promised. Where is it that maybe you're not having, as James says, because you don't ask? Where is it because where you're saying, oh, that just seems like an awful big struggle? Notice Caleb didn't shrink back from any of that. Caleb said at 85, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because God's with me. Doesn't matter how tall the walls are. Doesn't matter how strongly fortified the cities are. Doesn't matter. God's with me. And then we find that last verse that we looked at today. And the land had rest from war. That was it. Caleb's battles, that was it. He finished it off. He finished off what needed to be done. That's how we stay strong until the end. We know who God says we are. We follow him with just an absolute whole heart. No matter how long it takes, we just wait and we wait and we wait. And then we ask for what he's already promised. What he's already said, I'm willing to give, just ask. That's how we make it to the end. Moving down here from East Tennessee, there's a lot of hiking trails and stuff up in the mountains. And there's one mountain, second highest mountain. Kleinman's Dome is the highest mountain there in Smokies. But there's a road all the way up, almost all the way to the top. And then there's a half-mile paved walkway for that last half mile of the highest point. But there's a second highest peak, and there aren't any roads up. It's called Mount LeConte. There are five trails going up LeConte. Some say six, others say five. I say five, but anyway. So there are these trails going up LeConte, and there's this one trail called Alum Cave. Maybe some of you have been on it before. But there was a lady by the name of Gracie. Grace McNichols was her name. Everybody called her Gracie. Gracie moved to the East Tennessee area when she was 62 years old, and she just fell in love with Mount LeConte. Mount LeConte is over 6,000 feet in elevation, and Gracie began at 62 to start walking up some of those trails and climbing LeConte. And Gracie climbed LeConte some 211 times, I think it was. Or 244, 211, 244, 200, more than 200 times. She climbed Mount LeConte during the rest of her life. Her last climb was when she was 92 years old. She made that climb on her 92nd birthday. She climbed Mount LeConte one last time. Gracie, at 92 years old, was still taking hill country. At 92 years old, she was still scaling mountains. At 92, she was still climbing to the top and overcoming those things that stood in her way. If we are going to stay strong until the end, we need to be willing to say, God, whatever mountain that you have, just like Caleb, whatever mountain that you have for me, just give me that hill country. Whatever fortified city that you're going to have me to face, just give it to me. Whatever giants may be there, that's okay, because you're going to be with me. You're bigger than any giant. I'm going to walk with you. Whatever it is that God says, this is how you stay strong until the end. Stay strong until the end. Know who he says you are. Know who you are in Christ. Cling to that reality. That's the reality. The reality is who you are in Christ. Line your whole heart up with him. Your whole life. Everything that is in you. All of you. Follow Christ with everything that's in you. Wait patiently. It doesn't matter how long it takes. God's an eternal God. God's got all the time ever. So if God says wait, it's good, then wait. If it takes 40, 45 years for God to bring his purpose about in your life, it's okay. It's fine. God's not going anywhere. God has a perfect plan. He brought it to pass in Caleb's life. He'll bring it to pass in yours. Caleb's not a superhero. He's a person just like us who live by faith. And then whenever you find yourself, after you've done those things, you've waited patiently, ask God to do what he's already promised. That means that you know his word and you know what he's already said. Just ask God for what he's already promised. Possess your possessions. That's how we stay strong until the end. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you don't leave us to figure these things out on our own. Thank you that you don't throw us out there to the edge and say, figure it out. You don't push us in the deep end of the pool and say, learn how to swim. We do encounter struggles. We do encounter difficulties. We have times of waiting. There are mountains. There are fortified cities. There are all sorts of things that we encounter that would be temptations to set us back. But Father, you show us how to stay strong until the end. And not just until the end, but for all eternity. And all of that is wrapped up in Christ. We will not stay strong unto the end unless we are following Christ. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own power. Or we'll end up being people who are Caleb's age, or maybe even younger still, that are so unlike your son, God. Father, we want to stay strong until the end. So, Father, I pray that you would transform us, you would work in us, you would grant us endurance for those who are waiting. You would grant reality of who we are in you for those who are struggling with who they are and who others say they are. Father, for those that may be afraid of what's ahead, they may be afraid to ask for your best because they're afraid of what it's going to cost you. Father, anything less than your best is going to cost us so much more than your best. No matter what the sacrifice is for your best, anything less than that is so much of a heavier cost. Father, there may be people here who maybe a part of their heart is just not lined up with you. A part of their life is not lined up with your will, and they're struggling with that. Father, I pray today would be the day you'd set them free from that, and they would surrender that to Christ. Father, there may be people here today that say, I don't have that hope because I don't know Jesus. I've never made a decision to follow him. Or I thought I did, but now I've come to realize that I really didn't. Father, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Today would be the day they would say yes to Christ. They would say, I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to stay strong until the end, and I want to start right now by following Christ with a whole heart. Father, we pray that you would have your will done in our lives. And that no matter where we find ourselves on the age spectrum, whether we are just starting out, just young enough, and just maybe old enough to understand these words, or maybe we have been around and you have graced us with many, many years. Father, I pray that in either case and everybody in between, you would challenge us by your word and you would change us and we would be more like you, more like Christ, transformed into your likeness more exactly tomorrow than we are today, and the day after tomorrow than we are tomorrow, and on and on and on and on, until when we can look back at the end of our lives, when the final battle is raging and it's done, and when the final city's been overcome and the final mountain has been climbed, we can look back and say, I am more like Christ today than I ever before have been. And we give you praise and glory and honor for that. May that be our testimony in the days to come. We give ourselves to you now, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.